Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, something new is coming to Tomorrowland, why that may not be good news, expanded discounts for Magic Key holders,
turf is popping up around the resort in more and more places, we talk about Halloween time and the upcoming D23 Expo and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Ah, buenos dias, señorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people listening. Welcome to DL Weekly's Enchanted Podcast. Hey, Tag and Teresa, mi amigos. Pay attention. It's show time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of September 7th, 2022. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Michael F. for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Supporters get some pretty awesome perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
Teresa, I want to point out, has been working very hard. We have a giant stack because we didn't send... because August was just a busy month for us, and September now we're in, there is a giant pile of cards that Teresa painstakingly handwrote to send out to supporters, plus some people that have been with us 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. How many cards did you write?
Oh, I didn't count.
It's a lot.
A lot. It was a pile. There was this many of, I remember there was like 13 of one anniversary, 7 of another, you know, that kind of thing. I don't remember what the grand total is. It was probably about 50 cards in total.
It's quite a pile. So appreciate that. I'm sure all of our listeners do too, and supporters who get those. Well, we have some details. This will be the last time we have to announce this about our D23 meetup that is happening this coming Saturday, September 10th, from 8 to 10 p.m. It's a weekly tier meetup. It's going to be at the Disneyland Hotel by the fireplace near Trader Sam's. If you could stop by for any amount of time, please feel free. We'll also be at the expo the entire weekend. We're going to be at the park on Monday and Tuesday morning. And then we're going to be at Oogie Boogie Bash Tuesday night. And then we'll be there Wednesday morning for a little while.
Wednesday morning before our flight. Yep.
So, but if you see us around, say hi again, Saturday, September 10th, 8 to 10 p.m. If you're an expo goer, that should be enough time for you to come and say hi afterwards. If you are going to the Oogie Boogie Bash that night, unfortunately, that does kind of coincide with that. So if you see us some other time, say hi.
Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey this week in Southeast Asia. Why? Because other than Victoria and Albert's recent reopening, there isn't much to talk about in Walt Disney World, that's why. Okay, there's some fun stuff coming up with a new vacation club lounge in Disneyland, but that's likely part of a whole Tomorrowland thing. I think D23 is going to be kind of huge this year, but we all know how it goes with D23 announcements and their corresponding timelines for actual delivery. Yeah, that's a bit of a slight on Disney. What? I can be negative once in a while. Look at Epcot. We're abandoning concepts left and right. Doesn't mean I won't spend half of my next trip in the park like usual. I mean, come on. It's Epcot. But Asia. Yeah. In recent years, Disney has partnered with a brand we all know and trust. National Geographic Expeditions arranges some of the most exotic and, dare I say, educational trips in the Adventures by Disney portfolio. Last time I spoke with all of you, I made light of some of Adventures by Disney's quicker tours. Hold on tight, folks, because this next feature features a pretty pronounced feat of scheduling. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's very late, and I just wanted to say feat a bunch of times in the same sentence. Please forgive me. Head to Southeast Asia on a 17-day tour. Because you're traveling with Adventures by Disney and National Geographic, you know you're going to see things that most tourists only dream of. Explore the Mekong Delta and its most famous markets. Enjoy 5-course meals in Vietnam. Take some time to visit the Angkor Wat Temple, a site rarely open to the general public. Then explore the rest of the Angkor Conservation Center. This site houses one of the last places on Earth where you can watch a true silk farm from silkworm to loom. Visit sites where emperors once ruled. Meet endangered species like the Asiatic black bears, and learn about the efforts to help them thrive in the wild. Your trip with Adventures by Disney and National Geographic help fund further conservation efforts, ensuring future generations can visit both ancient temples and living animals. As you can expect, these trips run closer to the $10,000 range, but few tours in this world offer such a rich experience over such a long period of time. Take that, plaids. But if you want to book a trip to Disneyland with a VIP plaid experience, we can help with that one too, of course. Duh. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric. Now let's get to Disneyland news.
Well, we have some Tomorrowland news. However, it isn't quite as exciting as it may sound. The Disney Vacation Club members will have a new lounge in Disneyland. Starview Station will have a mid-century space theme and have areas for seating, device charging, free Wi-Fi, and more. It will be located on the second floor of what is now the Star Wars Launch Bay. This points to the likelihood that a Tomorrowland renovation, if there was one, would not include knocking this building down.
Which is kind of a bummer because this is one of those buildings that I would not be sad to lose in Tomorrowland.
So it's a very cool building. However, the function of this building, this was where America Sings was. This was where the Carousel of Progress had once lived too. So this building does have like have a rotating stage, however you want to describe it. So that function, though, has been broken. And that's why it's just kind of become a just big open space for people to walk through. So it's kind of it's a very cool building, but it is sad that it's not working and it's not doing what it was designed to do. I don't know. I'm not an Imagineer. I don't know if this is something that they can fix. This is something they can't fix. I'm going to assume it's probably maybe something that they aren't able to fix. Otherwise, don't you think they would have maybe done it by now?
Yeah. You know, if you guys watch YouTube and you watch Fresh Baked, he went on a whole thing about how if the people movers were to come back, that would be a good spot to put a people mover station and all this stuff. I don't know about all that necessarily. So I'm not sure. I do feel like this is, you know, if there's something that's going to douse my excitement for a Tomorrowland update or renovation, it's this, because I want Tomorrowland to be completely stuff that's there that's been crufty for a while. I want them to just get rid of it and kind of start fresh. And if they're going to spend even a little bit of money on this, I feel like that's going to be a ways away, which makes me sad. It does look cool, though. It does look like there's potential to use some limited maybe technology of stuff they did in like the Space 220 restaurant out in Epcot, where it kind of looks spacey. Again, though, it's kind of like the Magic Key areas that people have been able to go to that have, you know, seating and charging areas and stuff. So it's nothing too crazy, but it is, I mean, if you're a Disney Vacation Club member, it's kind of cool.
Well, the other thing, too, is so we don't currently have, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but as far as I know, we don't currently have a DVC lounge in our parks, whereas there is one for sure at Epcot has one. And one of the other cool perks too for the people that are able to hang out and kind of relax and recharge is they also have free water and free soda for the people that are up there too. So just kind of nothing like amazing, but just kind of nice little gestures that these have. I will say I'm still holding out hope for D23 and Tomorrowland, because this is at least they're doing something. So something sometimes better than nothing, not always, but
sure.
Sometimes. But this is the back half of the Tomorrowland area. This is back by like Space. This is back by the newly refurbished subs, back by Autopia. I still think that if they're going to do a Tomorrowland refurb, I think it's going to be done in sections.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So this still opens up the possibility of this is something that they can do that's not going to disrupt the back half of Tomorrowland, that does kind of freshen it up a little bit, maybe while they're focusing more on the front of Tomorrowland.
Sure.
So I'm not losing all hope, but the one big downfall is this is a pretty, this building does have a pretty big footprint on stage, both on stage and off stage. So there was talk and hope that maybe this could become a new attraction. You know, they could demolish and build a new attraction here, But that looks like it's either not going to happen or it's coming down the road.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to do something with the phase thing. I don't think they're going to close all of Tomorrowland down to do stuff. I just don't think that they can deal with a loss of that much capacity, even when Toontown reopens and if they get the treehouse or anything going again. You know, we also got to think about that at some point Splash Mountain should be going down. Maybe we'll hear something about that at D23 as well. So lots of things up in the air.
We'll know way more next week.
Yeah. Magic key holders have some additional discounts available from September 21st through October 14th. At certain locations around the resort, the merchandise discount has been increased to 30%. For a full list of locations where the higher discount is available, visit Disneyland.com or the link in our show notes.
You know, this is something fun. Do I wish that it was happening while we were there? Yes, of course I do. But I think this is kind of a fun perk for Magic Key holders. It's not like it doesn't quote unquote cost Disney tons of money to do. It's not like they're buying a bunch of stuff and push. This is a relatively easy thing for them to do. They're not investing a lot in this perk. This is obviously something that is already available, something that is already in high demand. So I think it's nice that they're bumping up the discount. I wish we could take advantage of it. I am very excited for all of you that do get to take advantage of this during your trips.
So the Instagram post where they talked about this, I did not read this before the show, but this is interesting. Magic Key holder must present their valid and activated Magic Key pass prior to purchase to receive applicable benefits or discounts. Further identification may be required. These discounts are for the personal use only and may not be used for a commercial purpose or the benefit of others. Discounts are not valid on certain items, blah, blah, blah. Interesting, because that to me seems like don't go reselling merchandise kind of stuff with your discount.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we reported on previously, some areas around the resort are transitioning to turf and moving away from water-hungry natural grass. Two highly visible areas were just covered and look pretty good. The Haunted Mansion, which just returned in its holiday form, had its front lawn replaced, and arguably the most visible grass around the floral Mickey in front of the train station at Main Street has also transitioned to the new turf. So we were speculating about this week because they had everything covered up. So not only did the grass get a fresh do, Mickey also, the floral Mickey, now has his Halloween costume on for the season. So he's nice and festive.
Which makes sense. I will say, we didn't talk about what had happened, but apparently Storybook Land, the grass around where it says Storybook Land, the floral sign, also has been changed over to this turf. It's a little harder to tell because you're a little further away there. We do have a link in our show notes to an Orange County Register article that kind of talks about this. How long, did we notice the grass at Carsland last time we were there? Had they done that already? Was that one of the first places they did it?
The first place I remember noticing it myself is in Fantasyland, back by the dark rides.
Right.
Actually, back by Pinocchio is where I remember first noticing it. I don't remember off the top of my head if Carsland was done yet or not. I will say the turf that they use, if you're not looking super closely at it, it's not very obviously fake grass. It's not that plasticky, like neon, weird green that you sometimes see places. It's not that at all. It's a pretty decent looking turf. Does it look like 100% like grass? Well, of course not. You know, some comments I've seen online that people have been saying that it didn't lay down really flat, like they didn't level the ground underneath it before they laid it. So it's kind of,
that's good though.
Lumpy in spots, and
but that's good though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it looks more realistic.
Yeah, I would think. And then some people said that they could see seams of where where it kind of connected. So we'll be able to. We'll let you know what we think when we go there in person. You know, it might be more difficult for the larger areas to be able to cover and not be as obvious as it were, because the places we had seen before were small.
Sure. The other thing too is, did you see? And I think it was mostly the sun that was reflecting off it really well. But did you see a picture of the Haunted Mansion grass? It looked like almost neon green in the picture I saw, just because I think of the sun hitting it the right way. But I think it looks good, because I feel like lately when we've gone to the parks, I feel like the grassy areas have looked a little dry, I guess.
Yeah.
Like they try.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
But like this week, it's been what, 100, over 100 degrees a lot of days. So even if you water frequently, that's still really tough on those, on the grass. So the fact that they're moving to a turf and it looks so good in general, like there were, like Teresa said, when we were in Fantasyland, we were having a hard time trying to figure out if it was real or not. We were like, is this real? And like when you feel it or try to pull it, it's obvious that it's that yep. it's artificial.
Yeah.
I like this, though. I'm glad that they're kind of going to this. I hope that they continue to have fresh flowers everywhere there. I would not want them to replace
I can't imagine that going away. But this just makes a ton of sense because lower maintenance, mm-hmm. you know, as far as nobody's got to go
drought conditions,
mow the grass or anything. But then the other big thing is too lower cost and it's more environmentally friendly because you're not having to water it. So it'd be interesting. I don't know if they'll ever share with us, but I think it'd be really interesting to know how much water they're saving by switching over.
It's Disney. They're very environmentally friendly. I feel like they will, you know, a year from now, they'll be like, over the past year, we've done this. And yeah. it's because they keep numbers on all that stuff. All right, folks, strap in. Everything from this point out is Halloween. With the return of Halloween time at Disneyland this past Friday, it started. The monsters are taking over Mission Breakout once again. Guardians of the Galaxy, Monsters After Dark is back this year. For those of you who may not know, after 4 p.m., the attraction is taken over by monsters and becomes a little more scary and thrilling for most people.
Yeah. What was it when we went last year during Oogie Boogie Bash and experienced it? And the people that we were there with, like the other guests that were in the same lift as us, how did they explain it as it being more intense? And we're like, what do you mean more intense? The music is just kind of like more intense. The dropping is more, it's not as bouncy feeling. So yeah, it's a different feel. It's the same attraction, but not the same attraction. It's kind of like Tower and Guardians, somewhere between the two is kind of the feel of this. However, it does have kind of like harder rock music that's more like, so yeah, that's, yeah. It's just very different. If you haven't experienced it, I would suggest to do so.
If you like thrilling things.
Yes, if you like thrilling things. Personally, I like the original better. So I do think it is nice that they have the original going during the day and then they are able to switch it over at night. So it's not like all or nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other overlays, all or nothing.
Do they even close this down for the time when they switch it over? Or does it just kind of happen?
I think they do, but it's not a very long switch over from what I remember.
So if you like more thrilling things, although I would say if the normal Guardians is too much for you, this would definitely be a lot for you.
That's true. Well, somehow we had completely passed over. You know what? We didn't completely pass over. I don't think they ever announced this, that the gingerbread house for the Haunted Mansion holiday, we never got a sneak peek at what this design was going to be. But this year, of course, since the Haunted Mansion holiday is back, the design has been unveiled, and it features Lock, Shock, and Barrel, which are the mischievous trick-or-treaters from Nightmare Before Christmas, and they're using a guillotine to cut some cake. Pretty intense.
This is cool. Now, I will say, it's not as elaborate, maybe, or as extensive, maybe, where it was the anniversary, so it was like a big deal.
Sure,
but this one has a ton of animation to it. The characters move, the guillotine moves, some of the other things move. But again, it was interesting because we always seem to talk about the gingerbread house, but they didn't talk about anything this year.
They usually leak out concept art and get everybody kind of excited. But yeah, if they did, we totally missed it. But you know what? I kind of like that, though, because it wasn't like anybody knew what was going to happen until, boom, there it was.
Yeah.
So you couldn't get spoiled like I did for Oogie Boogie Bash stuff. We'll go into that later. But, you know, I think that's kind of fun. I like these kind of surprises.
I just want to say that I called it. I knew you were going to get spoiled.
I knew. I wasn't super confident, but I walked into it way earlier than I thought I was going to walk into it. That's what like took me off guard, because it wasn't even like, oh yeah, of course there's going to be spoilers.
Could have just waited an extra week, huh?
Man.
I told you, if you were going to be on social media at all, even looking at stories, you were going to hit it. But
wasn't even that. The news. You couldn't get away from it with all the news this week.
That's true.
We'll get into all that stuff later, though.
Well, something new this year for Halloween is the Mickey and Friends Halloween Cavalcade. Cavalcade features a lot of characters with heroes and villains represented in their Halloween costumes as they go trick-or-treating down the parade route.
I'm curious about this, and I think it's going to be really fun, you know, and just unique and easy addition for them. Is it a full Halloween parade? No, but it is something different than the cavalcade that we've had pretty much since the parks had reopened. So that's really exciting to get something fresh and something new in that respect. I do want to warn that some of these characters, yes, do have full costumes on. So like Mickey and Minnie have their full Halloween costumes on. However, some of the other characters, I wouldn't really say that they have a costume on because they're just maybe have like a little mask or some little prop that they're holding. Sure. So it's not as over the top as, say, Mickey and Minnie, Donald and Goofy, which we'll talk about their costumes later. But it is still fun.
Freya, the Pluto's Pumpkin Pursuit is the, there's a set of like...
They're like little trick-or-treat buckets, but yeah, they look like Mickey pumpkins.
Yeah. So the other thing that did not make it into the news, but I do want to talk about is, so they've got these cavalcades. And so with the electrical parade being gone, there's really no parades going on except for at the Oogie Boogie Bash, there'll be the Frightfully Fun Parade. But there's some job postings right now for some people... And they, so, rumor time.
Parade performers.
Rumor time. Mm-hmm. Totally rumor. We have no basis for this, but me just hearing rumors. One thing is they thought, well, obviously Magic Happens will come back with these folks because it's such a new parade that it would be something good to come back. But David on Fresh Baked, I don't know if you watched his video.
So I want to pause before you get into it. So the rumor does have some basis to it because there are postings.
Are you talking about Magic Happens?
No.
The other thing.
There are postings that they are casting basically for parade performers and for lookalikes. So that would be like face characters. So that's where this rumor is stemming from.
Sure. But there are face characters on Magic Happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the other rumor, David Freshbake said he had heard from multiple people that there's been spotted Paint the Night float. And some of the costumes from Paint the Night have, like, made it back on property. But who knows? I think it's more likely that Magic Happens will come back.
See, I'm thinking, I'm going totally left field here. I think this is a new parade because
Not Magic Happens, Paint the Night?
No, because next year is the 100th anniversary of the Disney company. So I feel like we're going to get new parades and new fireworks to celebrate the 100-year anniversary for the park, is my thought.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Could the 100-year anniversary celebration include bringing back Magic Happens and bringing back Paint the Night? For sure it could.
Oh, I wish so.
I think these are signs of things to come with what 2023 is going to look like for the parks as far as celebrating 100 years of Disney.
Well, they're going to talk a lot about Disney 100 stuff, so that'll be exciting,
I'm sure,
too.
We will know very soon what these casting calls were for.
What do you feel about the cavalcades? You like the cavalcades? You'd rather have a parade, right?
Oh, I'd rather have a parade. I'll take a cavalcade over nothing.
You're right.
But yeah, I miss the parades. I miss the daytime parades. Well, and I like nighttime parades. I enjoy parades. I think they're so fun. So I really hope that we get a daytime parade back soon.
Me too. I mean, I see a nighttime one back too.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say Frightfully Fun doesn't exactly count since it's a party only one.
Correct. Yeah, like a general admission parade. Yep.
Well, the villains are really throwing quite a dance party over in Tomorrowland each evening. From 7 to 11 p.m. each night, a DJ will play some spooky tunes while dancers, villains, and guests dance the night away. There is a break from 9:15 to 10 during the fireworks, just to be aware of.
So this dance party is basically, from what Mice Chat reports, that it's basically a... there was another... Where is it? Blah, 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 blah.
There was like a pool party themed.
Yes.
Like a Tomorrowland pool party themed party that was going on during the summer. And this is just replacing that.
Yeah, yeah. But I still think it's really cool. It's got some villains and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Everybody seemed to like the dance parties. I know anytime there's been a kind of small dance party, it seems like something so small. So you're like, oh, it's kind of underwhelming. But people love it. So well, I think that's great, especially little kids.
And it's characters mm-hmm. and it's just fun. And everyone is, you know, everyone's a kid again when you're at these dance parties. You know, there's nobody's judging. Nobody's, you know, whatever. Everyone can just like let loose and have fun. I think that's what's so cool about these. Plus, like I said, you get to like dance and interact with characters.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really fun, too.
One of the most fun and unique things about getting photos from PhotoPass photographers is the magic shots that they have available. For the Oogie Boogie Bash, there are two new options. The first is Zero, Jack Skellington's ghost dog, and the other is Oogie Boogie himself as a shadow over the full moon. That's
and
cool.
And so those are the Oogie Boogie Bash specific magic shots.
Oh, there's more.
I have seen other magic shots as well. I've seen One with Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Oh.
I've seen one that's basically just kind of like has fall leaf border around it. Of course, there's always the cauldron that you're like dipping the apple in. Sure. But yeah, there's other fun ones too. So if you have PhotoPass, be sure to ask your photographer if they have any extra magic that they can add to your shot, because you never know what you're going to get. And this time of year is just fun because you've got the regular magic shots plus these like holiday specific magic shots as well. And
make sure that if you do purchase Genie Plus, it comes with PhotoPass. Yeah. So make sure that you utilize that, because some people I feel might buy Genie Plus and they think it's just for like ride stuff, but it also comes with the PhotoPass.
Mm-hmm. Well, as with most holidays celebrated at the resort, there are more new collectibles available for Halloween time. First up is a new Mickey Pumpkin Globe Sipper, which features the pumpkin Mickey like on Main Street. The Globe Sipper is available at various quick service locations for $20.79. Fans of Coco and specifically Dante will want to pick up the new straw clip that features the colorful dog at Cochina Cucamonga in Disney California Adventure for $7.99.
This one's cute with Dante.
He's so cute. I'm not usually a big like straw clip fan, but he's just so dang adorable.
Well, I like that he hangs on the straw the certain way because he looks like he's just dangling there.
There's also, I did see that Vampire Mater, that straw clip is also back, and you can pick that up over in Cars Land. But yeah, just so fun.
Yeah. But
there's, I wanted to mention too, there were two other sippers that came out. So if the pumpkin snow globe looking one is not your thing,
sure,
there's also one that has Oogie Boogie on it, and there's an AP exclusive that has a scene from the Skeleton Dance on it.
Oh, cool. I feel like they're really leaning heavily into the Skeleton Dance. They are.
Well, you know what? It's the 90th anniversary.
Oh, is it?
Plus, it's spooky time. So it's like the perfect time to be big time celebrating a big anniversary.
It's pretty cool. Are you going to get either of these things, the globe or the straw topper?
I feel
the straw
topper maybe. I feel like they're adorable, but then I don't know what to do with them necessarily when I get home.
Yeah.
So that's always my problem. Maybe I need to get some. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We will see.
DL Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight? You think you got some great answers stored up in your brains?
I hope we'll find out.
Yeah? All right. Well, we've got some awesome questions submitted by some awesome listeners. I'm excited. They came up with some really good ones. We've got some that were actually submitted a while ago, and I finally got around to getting them in here, and we got some newer ones. And
what do you think our chances are, Vern?
You know, these are good questions.
Oh. So not good. Okay.
Yes, I love the listeners, and I love the listener submitted questions. And thank you, listeners, for everything you do for us here in Trivia Land, because we appreciate you very much. So let's get to it. Your first listener submitted question from listener Chris Y. What is the name of the pirate ship in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure it's not this, but I'm just going to go with Jolly Roger. I'm sure it's not.
No.
Well, Barbossa's on it. You'd think it would be like his ship or something, but no.
This is a fantastic question.
This is a fantastic question.
And it's one of those, as soon as I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't even have a guess.
Not Jolly Roger?
No, I don't. It's not the Jolly Roger. I have a tickle that it might actually even say it on the ship.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Be making that up, but I don't know.
You're just going with I don't know?
The Misty Maiden.
Ooh.
The Misty Maiden?
Yep.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. Your second question, submitted by listener Tim J. In the Haunted Mansion conservatory coffin scene, on the bottom left, what does the note on the flowers say?
There's a lot of two froms. I don't know.
What does the note on the flowers
say? Yeah, so it's like, because right, it's supposed to be like a wake or like a visitation. So it's people that sent flowers. You know how they have little notes in them? I don't know.
I didn't even know there were notes in this scene.
I've seen them. I don't think I've paid attention to the writing on them, though. Because it is hard to see because it's dark.
I got nothing.
Rest in pieces.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. So I don't feel very good about this week so far.
I got
far,
nothing. No, I don't and rest in peace.
Yep.
It's got to be some fun, some very fun and punny thing.
Probably.
All right. Your third regular round question submitted by listener Cooper C. What year were the first plans for Disneyland drawn up? And what was the original name?
Mickey Mouse Park.
It was pretty early, wasn't it? Wasn't it like 1948 or something like that? I'm going to say 1948.
You're going to say 1948?
And Mickey Mouse Park.
Is that your final answer?
That's mine, yeah.
I'm saying Mickey Mouse Park.
And you're agreeing with Tag?
No, I'm thinking. It may have been earlier. Because he wanted it across from where the studio was going to be.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to say 45. No, 43.
43, wow.
And that's your final answer?
Final answer.
All right. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Donna S. How long did it take to carve the Capitol building model in the lobby of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln?
We saw this when we were there.
And so what is the model made of?
The model's
made out of stone.
Limestone or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's made out of some sort of stone.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize it was
I thought it was like balsa wood or something. And I want to say it took like 5 years.
It was a crazy amount of time.
Yeah. Because we read this when we were there. That's mm-hmm. the funny mm-hmm. kick yourself part. Yeah. So, I mean, do you need us to be more specific than stone?
No, I will accept stone.
Good. Stone and 5 years is what I'll say.
I'm going to say 8 years.
8 years. Okay.
All right. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we will all find out together.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we've actually got two kind of topics that blend together and kind of go together and work. We're going to talk about Halloween time at the resort and some of the cool stuff that's come out that we kind of didn't want to put in a bunch of news stories, but also talk about the Oogie Boogie Bash a little bit and the things we're excited about and some of the things that are new this year that also might be some spoilery stuff, so we'll tag that stuff for you. And also some D23 prep, what we're excited for, what we're prepping for, things we finally on Friday got our list of things that we can go into mm-hmm. that we can tell everybody what we're doing and which things we got into, which thank goodness Teresa and I got two different things because we'll talk about it. But let's talk about Halloween time quickly.
So Halloween time, there's a lot of your favorites have returned. There's not too much new stuff going on as far as what to do at the parks, just on your typical park day. Of course, Haunted Mansion Holiday is back in all of its wonderful holiday mashup glory. I did hear from one of our listeners, Alex, who's actually at the parks today. He rope dropped Haunted Mansion Holiday because he's that cool.
Of course he did.
And
he's like you. He likes Haunted Mansion just as much as you do.
And he said that he's not sure he just felt like the Jack animatronic either had a bigger range of motion or just was moving more smoothly than the past.
Well, that's good news.
That's exciting. But other than that,
he moved less. And I was like, no.
No. But other than that, he did say that the gingerbread house looks amazing in person, all that good stuff. But as far as Ghost Galaxy for Space Mountain did not come back this year. So that seasonal holiday overlay went to Yesterland. So really the big Halloween thing in Disneyland itself, besides food, besides decorations, is Haunted Mansion Holiday. So, of course, there has been pretty big wait time. So make sure you use your app to kind of check and see when's a good time to go. Usually first thing in the morning or, you know, there's always a lull in the afternoon and at the nighttime as well. Maybe during like Fantasmic, that sort of thing. Over in DCA, Cars Land is where it's at.
Beautiful.
For Halloween time. Of course, the cars have decorated in full force. They do, amazing job. Way better than I decorate my own house. Side note, yes, I do already have my Halloween decorations.
I saw that starting when I came today.
Yep, they are starting to come up. We have some of our pumpkins in our windows, and I have my Disney shelf is all decorated too, and I'll show you when we're done. So Cars Land's really where it's at as far as that goes. And then also, if you go over to La Plaza de Familia, they've got the Coco show back again, which I'm very excited to go see. It's so fun.
I'm with you on Cars Land. Cars Land, I think, is the best decorated, especially in theme decorated area, it seems like, anywhere. Obviously, all the normal bunting and stuff is up on Main Street mm-hmm. and Buena Vista Street. And
Frontierland has
Frontierland has the Halloween tree, right?
Yep.
Yep. So lots of stuff going on. Of course, the Mickey pumpkin is there on Main Street as well that everybody loves to go take a picture. For those of you who don't know, this is something I feel like maybe people don't pay attention to. There's Mickey faces on both sides of the Mickey pumpkin, and he's winking on one side and
blinking
on the other side. So be aware that if you are taking a photo there, you could get two different photos and have different Mickey looking differently. Some people may not know that.
Yeah, so the side facing, or the side that's looking at the castle. So if you're Mickey and you're looking at the castle, that is the blinking side. And if you're Mickey and you're looking at the train station, that's the blinking side. So that's the side with both eyes open.
That's cool. I'm glad that you know that specifically.
Important things.
If that's ever a trivia question, which side facing, what is Mickey
well,
doing?
Well, I guess I would have gotten that
I'd have a 50-50 chance, I suppose.
But the big excitement, okay, so I feel like I need to backtrack. Big excitement, Oogie Boogie Bash, 100%. I'm going to backtrack. For those of you that did not get to attend our live stream that we just had recently on YouTube, first of all, you can go back and watch it. It is still out there. It was done for the public. We had a ton of fun with it. We did talk about Oogie Boogie Bash. We talked a lot about D23, answering people's questions, seeing if anyone needed help with stuff. But we also talked about Oogie Boogie Bash a little bit. And I was determined that I wanted to go into Oogie Boogie Bash spoiler free because
I
thought it was going to be perfect because the first official party night is tonight as we're recording this, September 6th. We get on the plane on Thursday, September 8th, we have all of D23 Expo, and then we're at the park enjoying the party ourselves the following Tuesday. So I figured this would be perfect. We'll collect all the news. We'll do the show before the first party even happens. What could go wrong? Well, first of all, I did not know that there was a
cast member preview,
which happened on Sunday. So that's why you're seeing lots of photos. But prior to that, somehow I told Tag, I said, well, I messaged him on Saturday because I don't even remember what I was doing. I was doing something on Instagram and boom, it was like running face first into a wall. All of these spoilers of all of these things that we didn't even have teasers that were going to happen just like fell into my lap. I was totally taken off guard. And so, yes, I accidentally spoiled Oogie Boogie Bash for myself. If I would have known, like knowing about the cast member preview, then I would have been able to like, okay, there's going to be spoilers. There's a preview. How people knew all of these things this far ahead, I don't know. But they did. It was a full day. It was over 24 hours before the cast member preview that this stuff was leaked. And the thing that I saw that was leaked was one of the maps, like one of the little paper like guides that they hand you that lists all the different treat trails, all the different characters.
Teresa would not share this with me, by the way. I said, share it. You're like, nice try.
he was like, I don't know if I just dive in now that I've been spoiled and I know, do I just go look, you know, or what do I do? And he's like, well, if you share the map with me, I'll let you know if it's worthwhile. I was like, ha, nice try.
But then I think it was later that night, Philander, who we just had on three episodes of, on his Instagram story, he went to the party and had stuff.
This was the next day because I got spoiled Saturday morning. Yeah. And then
but I went into that, I got everything and I was like, oh, I didn't know any of these things were coming.
So magic spoiler, magic spoiler, magic spoiler. If you do not want to know, if you want to be a Teresa and try to go in spoiler free and enjoy Oogie Boogie Bash in all of its frightfully fun and just experience it as is, you know, organically, please pause.
Skip ahead a couple minutes.
Because we're going to talk about some of those spoilers and the ones that we're the most excited about.
Okay. Spoiler time. I want to talk about a couple things quick. Since you went off on some whole thing, I just want to mention a couple things.
I know.
I'll leave a couple things because there's some things I want to know your opinion of first. The first thing that nobody knew, and I'm very surprised about, is they have De La Cruz.
Ernesto
De La Cruz.
He is a treat trail, too.
He looks amazing.
I thought I was excited for Mim. I might be more excited for Ernesto. I'm just going to bounce back and forth between those two treat.
Where is he located?
Night. I don't know. See, I'm still in this weird, how deep do I want to get in?
Well, anyway, Ernesto De La Cruz was there, who looked amazing. Mim, you were so excited for. Tell me what you thought of Mim. Did you watch any of the videos of her interacting with people?
I have not. That's where my like weirdness of how I know what she looks like.
What do you think about how she looks?
I know Archimedes is on stage with her, which I'm very excited about Archimedes.
What do you think of her looks?
I don't think she had purple hair, which confused me. Maybe she did. I only got a quick peek because, again, I was trying to decide how spoiled I wanted to be.
You're like, I kind of want to be sort of spoiled.
That was an accidental. Like, I'm like, I know Mim's going to be there. Same thing with Ernesto. I'm like, I heard that he was going to be there. And I'm like, maybe I can stay away from photos of them. Nope. Wrong. They're all over the place when I was digging and finding our news for today. So I know what they look like. So my line that I've now drawn myself, it keeps moving. But the current line that I have drawn myself is I'm not going to watch videos. Because I want I want to not know what the interactions are going to be.
Sure. Ernesto, the part I saw with Ernesto, just to let you know, he's just singing.
He's singing, yep.
Maleficent is still there. Mother Gothel's at Grizzly Peak Trail. Oogie now, Boogie's there. Madam Mim.
Dr. Facilier is now in his third location. He's back by the Golden Zephyr now. So originally he was in, Stage 19, I think is what it's called, which is now the Marvel store. So then he got moved out to the Bountiful Valley Hideaway thing, which is now where Ernesto is. And now poor Dr. Facilier has been bumped back yet again. He's back by the Golden
And then Zephyr. Character photo location is also Bruno.
I'm so excited for Bruno. Which
I didn't hear. The video I saw, you couldn't hear what he was saying. But the guy, the cast members, mannerisms.
Really?
Perfect. It's remember Sid just did a great Sid? It's like that. It's like,
so I'm just
going to want to
stand back there and just watch him.
And then I was so happy that Minnie, Daisy, and Clarabelle, as the Sanderson sisters, came to Disneyland. Oh.
This was actually a surprise because we knew that they were going to exist.
Oh, yeah.
But they were only supposed to be
on the cruise ships.
So, and what they did, they released this in an interesting way. Disney released this. They did a video showing off the trio in their wonderful Sanderson sister costumes. And they showed them off as starting on the cruise ship. And then next thing you know, they're standing in front of Carthay Circle. Yeah. So that I thought that was a really fun and a really cool like way to tease or to spoil that. I will say I am a little sad. We are looking at the map right now. It only showed that there were, in addition to, of course, the villains that are in their treat trails, it only showed that, did I only see that Bruno and the Sanderson sisters,
the three people as the Sanderson sisters are the two photos.
Yeah. Those are the only meet and greets because they used to have like a lineup of like Prince John and all sorts of other villains that they'd kind of like.
Not this time, according to the thing we just saw.
Interesting. But look, there's tons of... What are all these little photo things on there?
I have no idea. We will have to wait and find out. Don't spoil ourselves, apparently.
There's tons of things that they're calling photo opportunities, but not as many...
Here, photo opportunities. What does this say?
Oh, but that's with characters.
Visit the characters category in the app for specific characters and details. So they might have different people at different times. That's a great way around this.
I like this a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not all, because it was all clustered. It was either you saw villains on the treat trails or in the like photo spots that were kind of back behind Grizzly River Run area there.
Yeah.
Kind of behind, like, not quite to Villains Grove area, but back.
Yeah.
Back behind.
The other way. The bypass, if you will.
No, not the bypass. That was where the Evil Queen was. But
so what are you talking about?
Are you talking about
that San Francisco Street between Little Mermaid and...
So if you're on San Francisco Street going towards Grizzly River Run, it kind of forks it wise towards the left was where they kind of had them.
Oh, because it was just right in that little section. Yep. That's right.
So I think this is neat. And this also makes me happy because I think then characters like the Evil Queen that no longer have a treat trail are probably going to be around to be able to do these photo opportunities with. So
it looks like there's a lot.
This is going to be a first for me. I don't know how you feel about this, so we can discuss. But I think I'm going to be really character focused this trip, this party, just because there are so many new and so many unique and rare characters that are going to be out at this party. So I feel that's going to be a bigger priority for me this time around than it normally is.
So my thought, and we can talk about this off podcast, But for right now, I think what we should do, because I want to see Villains Grove again. So what time do we get in? What time does Oogie Boogie start?
So we get in at 3.
But the party starts,
I want to say, at 6.
Okay.
But you don't want to go to Villains Grove.
It's not dark yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So we should go through Hollywoodland and work our way around.
Well, and there's certain ones that like Oogie Boogie. You can go visit Oogie Boogie when it's still light out because you're inside of a building. So it doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime.
Gotcha.
So there are things that I don't think it really matters if it's still light or dark out. You know, if it's light or dark to experience. Same thing with Sid. Like, I don't think Sid's anymore.
Agatha's
immersive.
Good at night, though, because they do some cool stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say some of these street trails, I think, are more epic, more themed, however you want to say it, when it's dark out versus when it's light out. So some of them, like Mim, we don't know if Mim's going to be better in the daytime or the nighttime. So we might just have to go visit her twice.
I'm sure that wasn't...
Same with Ernesto. We might just have to go visit Ernesto twice as well.
We haven't seen them, so yes. also, just so you know, I did want to talk about this because this was hilarious. So the treat bag that comes out, one side of it has Hocus Pocus 2, of course, that's coming out at the end of the month. And then the other side's the Disney Plus Hollow Stream, all your favorites now, Screaming, which is funny. But I want to talk about this Hocus Pocus artwork. So Teresa, I would not have noticed this, but Teresa pointed it out. So one of the gags from the original Hocus Pocus was Winifred and Sarah take the two brooms, and the only thing that's left is the vacuum cleaner.
So what had happened was they got their brooms stolen.
Yeah.
And Winifred ends up taking, they raid the supply closet or the cleaning closet.
Well,
Winifred
takes has the mop. Broom.
Sarah has a mop, which is very much broom-like. Yeah. And then Mary ends up
with the vacuum cleaner and she, you know, zooms around. So
she's trying to ride it like a broom.
They are in silhouettes against the moon on this bag. And Winifred is on a broom again because Winifred is not going to not have a broom.
She's a classic witch.
Sarah, I did not notice this. Sarah is on what?
It's a Swiffer mop. Like one of those, like a Swiffer wet jet is what this silhouette looks like. But even better is
Mary is riding two Roombas
like
shoes or something.
She looks very off balance doing so well.
You'd be off balance too if you were on two.
This is so sidetracked, but this made me this much more excited for this film just to witness whatever's going to happen. With this,
do you think that this will be something happens?
I think it has to. I don't think they would have put it on there if it wasn't going to be a thing.
I'm very excited for this.
So anyways, back to what we're looking forward
to. We're
going to
post a link in the show notes to reporting from this so you guys will have to be able to see that when you...
So we are all through with our Oogie Boogie Bash spoilers now.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So we're very excited again. We're going to be there again. On Tuesday night, we're going to be there for the Oogie Boogie Bash. We did not do the Oogie Boogie Bash that is for
the D23
members because you're just not going to have time. We're going to be so exhausted from the
D23
Expo.
Plus, that's our meetup.
And that's our meetup. But we made that decision before the meetup.
So, speaking of D23 Expo, I am very excited about this. So, as those of you that are attending Expo know, we all got to put in some of our preferences or our selections. Honestly, I don't know if there was any sort of rhyme or reason as to how you chose things. I've read online. Apparently there was. I was not aware of this.
I want to say...
Because you're supposed to put it in preferential order, apparently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
follow us now on a journey. So Friday, I get this email and I'm like, oh yes, today is the day that we're supposed to find out what we got. And I opened my email.
Friday was a good day. Not only was it the first day of Halloween time at the resort, it was also...
But I pulled this up, okay? The two things that are important to us are the Legends ceremony, and the most important because of this podcast is the Parks panel.
Just in general.
So everything I've seen, everybody got one selection per day, basically, is how this worked out. So here is my selections.
Up to one selection per day. Some people didn't even get...
Well, I got one each day, luckily, but here's what happened. So on Friday, I did not get the Legend ceremony. I got the inside look at the Society of Adventures, Explorers and Adventures. Okay, fine.
Very,
that's still kind of good.
Great. Very fun.
Saturday, Uncovering Treasures from the Marty Sklar Collection. Okay. Saturday, there wasn't like anything that I was like, oh, I'm going to die if I don't get it.
Saturday is our Disney Archives stage day. is what we're lovingly referring to.
And then Sunday, also not a bad choice, but not the parks panel, was the Walt Disney Imagineering 70 years of making the impossible possible. So I'm like, crap, no legends, no parks panel. Ah! So I send this screenshot to Teresa, who has not gotten an email just yet. She finally got in there. And why don't you explain what you got? And by the way, when you sign up for these, you can select that you can bring one guest. So even if you, like Teresa and I together, if one of us didn't get something but did the other did, you could bring a guest. So it's not like one of us is screwed.
As long as when you sign up for the reservations, you selected that you wanted to bring a guest.
So what did you get?
So I, first of all, I want you to go back. I'm like, oh, I haven't even got my email yet. Mind you, everyone, I am at work. So we see what Tag got, and I was like, well, let's just hope that I at least get something different than you. So then we have reservations to, you know, different panels, because our luck, right, we're going to end up with reservations the exact same.
Yes, panels. I was so worried about that.
So drum roll, please. So on Friday, September 9th, I got chosen to go to the Disney Legends Award Ceremony panel. Thank goodness. I put plus one
for all of my stuff.
Otherwise, there may have been, it would have been a really awkward vacation together.
I'll just be over while you're in there looking about the adventures, Society of Adventures Explorers.
Come on, though. Like, okay, so honestly, if we wouldn't have gotten a reservation to Legends,
still would have been good.
100% we would have gone to that one. That was the whole purpose. So I was a nerd. I made a spreadsheet of all of the different panels. We put them at what times they were, what stages they were at, that kind of thing. So we could kind of lay out and figure out, okay, what is plan A? And then what also is plan B?
Yeah.
So we both had signed up to try and get reservations for Legends, and we both had signed up to get reservations for the Adventurers, the Explorers one. Honestly, I'm very sad that both of them happen at the same time, because
me too.
I would really like to experience both of them. So honestly, I would have been totally fine not going to the Legends Award ceremony and going to the panel.
Before, when we picked these, it was before we knew they were going to be able to stream some of these things.
That's true. That's right. Yeah, that's also true. So not only is it exciting because it's the Legend ceremony, of course, there's going to be some famous actors and actresses, but there's also going to be some Imagineers that are going to be there, and people that have had different influences in the company for other various things. We're very excited about that.
And they're going to talk about the Disney 100.
And it's the big kickoff. So they keep talking about how this is going to be like the big, like the opening ceremony, basically, for the entire expo. So that's really what I'm excited
for. Yeah, me too.
The Legends part is just kind of like seeing some celebrities. That's just like cherry on top for me. Not a super big priority. So then on Saturday, I also got the Uncovering Treasures from the Marty Sklar collection. So fate is telling Tag and I we need to attend.
It's also funny because in our Discord chat, I think there was one or two other people that shared their things, and they also got Marty Sklar. So I'm like, man, this must not have been that popular, or only the nerds did it, or what?
All of us cool people, I think, is what you mean, did it, because we know how cool. This is going to be so fun. I'm really excited about this. In fact, our DL Weekly Book Club is actually reading a book by Marty Sklar for this month. So I'm very excited to go to this panel. I think it's going to be great. Guess where it is? You'll never guess, I'm sure. Oh, the Walt Disney Archive stage, because that's where we're going to be all day Saturday. And then for Sunday,
drum roll again.
I seriously, like, I think my coworkers thought I was having some sort of
seizure,
something, because I could not stop squeeing, like, you know, you're like, you know, that kind of noise, and like happy dancing, like at my spot. And they finally asked, like, what is going on? But
did they not know that you were looking for these reservations or anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because you're like, I got this email. I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll check mine again. Maybe I got it too. And I did. So I just like quietly was checking my email.
Gotcha.
But I also got selected for the parks panel, which I just,
thank goodness.
Honestly, the parks panel, I don't know if I would have done the, like, waiting the long, long hours to do standby for Legends. I would have.
We kind of had to.
I would have. Well, even if it wasn't for the podcast, I would have. Because to me, this is like the pinnacle.
So here's my concern about the standby. And this is a tip for you guys. If you did not get any of these, but you are going to D23 and you want to wait for these, I could be wrong. But when I read the fine print, it sounded like only like that they have given reservations for everything, and only people who don't show up are giving their seats away.
No, so they did not reserve out the full halls.
Okay.
They only reserved part of the halls. They have not announced, A, how many people fit in a hall, and then B, how many of those seats are already
Philander
reserved.
Did say that about Hall D23 is 7,000 people.
Yeah, so but we don't know how many of those seats are quote-unquote spoken for with these reservations and these plus ones. Plus, how many people may have registered for a plus one, but it ends up being just them. So there is a little bit of wiggle room there. So there is a section that will be standby. We don't, again, we don't know how big that is. So standby is kind of, it's very iffy right now because it's just very unknown.
Sure.
Just for those of you that are interested in doing standby for these bigger panels, I will be really honest, and we've been talking about this in our Discord with, we've got a lot of first-timer weekly tiers that are going to Expo this year. So we've been trying to share tips and kind of help people plan and help people be as prepared
as we can. Which I wish we would have had for 2019.
So the real hard truth is with these large panels, even though like we've heard is that there's like 7,000 people that can get in on these giant panels, there's well over 7,000 people that are attending Expo. So not if you have a ticket to Expo, that does not guarantee that you're going to get into these bigger panels. And it's not even like, oh, I'll get in, I just will be sitting in the way far back. No, like you won't even be allowed in the room potentially. So if these are really important to you, you can start lining up at 4:30 a.m. And I want to say security opens at 5 a.m. or the doors open at 5 a.m. Maybe it's security opens at 4:30. 4:30 is the earliest that you can do stuff. They are enforcing that people are not able to be there prior to 4:30, including, you know, not just the convention people, not just D23 people. It's also the local police is going to be making sure that this is enforced because they don't want people camping out overnight for health and safety reasons.
Yeah.
So 4:30 is the earliest that you can. I want to say now that I'm saying this, I think it's 4:30 is when security, you can start lining up for security, and then 5 is when doors open. So, and again, the panels aren't until like 10:30. So it is a long wait, but if it's something that's super important to you, the earlier you get there, the better the odds are that you'll get.
But also keep in mind, folks, that you line up to get into the actual expo and they let you in at a certain time, but then you have to go queue for the different
panels.
Yeah. So last time they didn't have this type of reservation thing, they had something different. And we waited in line for the Legends ceremony. And I will tell you, you are in a large concrete area, mm-hmm. not a lot of decorations, it's magic like, tape on the ground.
It's like a basement. You're in a basement.
Basically. And then you basically wait and they start letting people in a little bit at a time from there. So just be aware that you may be sitting on a concrete ground for some undetermined long amount of time. Also, COVID is still sort of a thing. If you're going to wait and you're going to be around in close proximity with these people, I would recommend to get them up to safety, probably wear a mask because you are going to be in close contact with a lot of people for a long time. You don't have to. I'm just saying that it's a good idea, probably.
But again, if this is really important to you to be in the room where it happens, then yes, get there early to go. Otherwise, the really awesome thing that is new to Expo this year is some of these big panels, the ones that we've just been talking about, Legends and the Parks panel, they're both being live streamed. So you could be on the expo floor watching from the comfort of your mobile device and not having to be in a crowded space, getting up at the, well, before the crack of dawn to get in these crazy lines. The other positive thing, too, is if these are not things that you need to be in the room for, great time to be checking out the expo floor.
Yes.
Because you've got 7,000 expo attendees that are no longer taking up space on the showroom floor. So you've got that much more elbow room and that much more availability for shopping and all the different events.
Really want to point this out to you guys. These things, there are scheduled times. So like the Parks panel goes from 10:30 to 12. I will tell you from experience last time, if you were on Mickey Avenue, which is a large pathway that basically goes the whole length of the show floor, if you're anywhere on, if you're looking at the map, we'll link the map in the show notes too. Anything to the left of the archive step in time booth, all that whole side of the building, when 12 o'clock comes and 7,000 people come out, that area becomes just a mass of humanity.
It's like a wall of people.
So yeah. My suggestion would be at 10:30, start over by Hall D23 and then work your way across the show floor. So you're maybe at the Expo Marketplace or somewhere on that other side of the building when noon comes about and all these people come out. The other thing, we've said this numerous times, I think we have to say it again, don't eat at the hot dog stand.
Don't eat at the hot dog
stand. But also there's food trucks outside.
Maybe they won't be there again. Maybe specific stand is not there.
Food trucks outside are probably a good thing. Even Philander said a lot of the restaurants around the area's hotel, the hotels have places to eat. We like Blaze Pizza. That's right, kind of down the street. But it's nice to have a break from the show floor and kind of get out and get some fresh air and not just be in a big conference space for so long. But this is very exciting. One thing that I kept forgetting about is they've got Walt's plane is going to be on display, which is going to be cool to see. That's not something you need a ticket for. You can just go over and see it. Again, also important to note, because we did not know this for a long time, there are three floors to the Expo.
There are multiple floors.
80% of everything is on the first floor, but definitely go up to the second and third floors because that is where there's another D23 Expo shop on the second floor with some Mickey's of Glendale stuff.
There's a couple stages.
And then on the third floor, there's the backlot stage and another marketplace. So those places we found when we went up there were like dead because nobody knew that they were up there. So if you find yourself getting overwhelmed with so many people and all that, go check out the second and third floors. There's a little bit of shopping and stuff up there. It's a good time. Also download the D23 Expo, specifically the D23 Expo app, because there's a lot of stuff in there too.
So some of the panels that we're looking forward to and we're hoping to attend. So on Friday, of course, we've got first expo that's lined up for us is the Disney 100 or the Legends ceremony. Past that, Friday's going to be kind of our floor day more so because we've got really after the Legends ceremony, the next thing that we're interested in doing isn't until like the afternoon, like 3:30. So I think that's going to be a good day for us to explore the expo floor, kind of get a lay of the land, see what all is out there. There's so many immersive exhibits and experiences that they have on the expo floor. So be sure to check those out. We didn't realize until the last day of 2019 expo that there was a like gold member, a D23 gold member lounge that we could have like gone to each day, and they were like, you won prizes and it was just a fun time. They had like refreshments and all sorts of good stuff, plus it was just a nice like area to sit and kind of just relax for a little bit. So make sure you check out stuff like
on that note. I did get an email, I'm trying to pull it up real quick. I did get an email today from the expo that if you are a D23 member, gold member, that you get a collectible print from the Disney Arc Eric Tan, which is available for pickup at the Ultimate Fan Lounge in Hall A, which Teresa was just talking about. There's also a bunch of stuff that you get exclusive access to.
And discounts.
And also, if you have a Disney Plus account, if you're a current subscriber, pick up your Disney Plus subscriber pass on Thursday. If you're there early, you can go to the event will call at the Convention Center Arena. Or on Friday through Sunday, event will call at the center or the arena box office, and you pick up this card. And I think that it allows you access to certain things or discounts on certain things if you are these subscribers.
Mostly discounts. There's a whole list of stuff on the D23 website that lets you know what these unique and special offers are for D23 gold members and for Disney Plus subscribers. So just real quickly, what panels we're looking forward to, like I said, the Disney Legends ceremony. We also have highlighted to maybe check out the Legends and Conversation panel or the Walt's Plane panel in addition to the Walt's Plane exhibit. Otherwise, we might see if we can get into the Looking Ahead with the Walt Disney Studios panel. That's another one of those big, big panels. We don't have reservations for that, so that might be a little lofty of a goal, but you never know. Saturday, like I said, is our... I'm so looking forward to Saturday because Saturday is all about the fun and amazing and very informative things happening over at the Walt Disney Archive stage.
Question. So the Archive stage, was that the one last year where you could you just sit in there?
No, that was the one that we lined up. This is how you'll remember what the Archive stage is. The Archive stage is where I spotted Tony Baxter.
No, I remember that one, but I couldn't you stay in there? Because wasn't there like another panel afterwards and nobody else had like there was a lot of empty because it was upstairs, so people didn't know it was
there.
Yeah,
it was upstairs. I don't know. We did have to queue to get into that one. I don't remember how much they were kind of like shooing people out of it or not.
Well, because
we were able to linger a little bit.
We want to hang out on this archive stage for most of the day. Yep. So do we just hang out there?
Yeah, 100%. Why not? We'll just camp in our chair. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if they allow that or not. But we've got a peek behind the curtain, Imagineering special effects.
That's going to be so cool.
Treasures from the Marty Sklar collection. A century of storytelling at Walt Disney Animation. And then the other thing that we had marked down is over at the premiere stage, Celebration of Encanto, because we want to talk about Bruno. I'm excited because I'm thinking that one, first of all, love the movie.
Well, yeah.
Love the music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
maybe they'll bring over Ernesto de la Cruz.
Maybe. I'm shooting for the sky, and I'm hoping for Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
That's what I'm hoping for.
He's doing a lot of stuff for Disney.
Yeah, no idea if he's going to be there or not, but I just think that that's going to be a really cool panel, and maybe.
That's another thing to let you guys know is, so in 2019, we didn't go in. There was a Disney Plus panel we didn't go into, but they brought out so many famous people on the Disney Plus panel. I think they give out hats and pins and everything else in that too.
Yep.
So some of the panels and things that you go to, they give out things, especially the larger ones. So was it what was it? Was it the Legends or it was the Parks panel that they gave us a Target gift card?
We got a $10 Target gift card, and then we also got an Avengers Campus pin.
Yeah. And then we signed up for Disney Plus, so we got a Disney Plus original subscriber pin or something.
Some charter member type pin or
something.
They
had a lot of cool stuff.
There's a lot of neat stuff.
Keep an eye out for freebies. The other thing that helps is looking at what other people have as they're wandering around, where did you get that pin?
Mm-hmm. And then do you want to talk about what we're excited about for Sunday?
So, of course, Sunday we've got the Parks panel in the morning, which will be enough excitement for anybody, to be honest. And then, of course, there's Imagineering 70 Years, which is a little bit later in the afternoon. There's also Disney Parks Through the Decades Ambassador Perspective. So a lot of the ambassadors are expected
to
be there.
You'll never guess which stage that one's on.
Is that one on the archive stage as well?
Yes.
And then Conversations with Disney Character Voices, which will be cool to see some of these people.
Because it was Bill Farmer's going to be there. So yeah, different voices of different animated characters are going to be hanging out during this panel. So I thought that'd be really fun.
Keep in mind, folks, this is just stuff that we're interested in going to see. If you have any interest in anything, there is something for it. There's a National Geographic.
There's a bunch of National Geographic
ones. There's some the world documentary of Duffy stuff. There's Duffy stuff. I mean, if you have any interest in something Disney that's not just the parks, there is stuff. American Horror Story, if you're into that. So there's
Tron. Tons,
Electrical
tons,
Parade.
Tons, tons.
I'm surprised you didn't put the Electrical
Parade
in.
Because it's during the Imagineering one.
Well, that's sad.
I know. See, there's tough choices at Expo. So we're very much looking forward to it. If you are interested in joining along and kind of getting some of the news as it comes out, we will be updating. Instagram is probably going to be the best place. If you're not already following us, be sure to follow us. It's at DL Weekly on Instagram. That's going to be the best place because it's the easiest and quickest way for us to share photos, share videos, all that fun stuff. So if you're curious as to what we're up to during Expo, make sure to follow us on Instagram for those updates.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a lot of fun. There's going to be, I'll tell you though, if you're not at the Expo and you're on social media, I'm sure there's going to be
a ton of
posts.
Oh, it's going to be blowing up, I'm sure.
So definitely check that out.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then you can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out all of the answers to tonight's questions.
Yeah, because I don't think we gave any of them.
Yeah, we did not. I don't think we got a single one right.
You're not feeling too confident?
No. Mickey Mouse Park's the only thing I think we have.
These are great questions.
These are amazing questions.
I'm going to reiterate, we here in Trivia Land, we do very much appreciate our listeners, and we love our listener-submitted questions. And I do have to apologize up front. A few of the questions that were asked tonight are ones that, quite frankly, they just kind of got lost in the shuffle. And as I looked at the submission dates, I said, oh, goodness, I'm sorry. That's been sitting there a while. So if you're listening right now and you're finally hearing your question, that's entirely my fault. I apologize. But you're hearing it now. So here we go. Let's see how you did tonight. Your first listener submitted question tonight from listener Chris Y. What is the name of the pirate ship on the Pirates attraction? Your answers were the Jolly Roger and the Misty Maiden. The correct answer that we were looking for was the Wicked Wench.
Oh, I knew that.
The Misty Maiden, the Wicked Wench. I was on the right path.
Wicked Wench. I should have known that. Yeah. We're going to lose our Disney
I'm just
cred.
I'm proud that I was at least in the general. Yeah.
You were almost completely opposite.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Wench, maiden, you know.
That's true. Yeah. You're very true. Looking back on it, maiden may not be what a pirate would
be. Yeah, but you're like in the right like idea. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Your second question submitted by listener Tim J. In the Haunted Mansion conservatory coffin scene, on the bottom left, what does the note on the flower say? Tag answered, I got nothing. And Teresa answered, rest in pieces. The correct answer I was looking for was, with love, affectionate father, husband.
Oh, interesting.
Well, that's not nearly as clever as I thought it was going to be.
Not everything has to be clever, Teresa.
There's so many good puns, though.
That's true.
Your third regular round question tonight, submitted by listener Cooper C. What year were the first plans for Disneyland drawn up? And what was the original name? Both of you get in the second part perfect with Mickey Mouse Park.
Woo!
Woohoo!
And the correct year that I was looking for, Teresa, I told you to agree with Tag. It was 1948.
Good job, Tag.
Which my clap was covered up by Luna barking.
Luna agrees. Luna. And your fourth and final regular round question tonight, submitted by listener Donna S. How long did it take to carve the Capitol building model in the lobby of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln? And what is the model made of? Both of you know incorrectly that that model is carved entirely from a big block of stone.
Which is amazing.
But woo-hoo! You guessed 5 years and 8 years, the correct number of years being 3.
Oh, you know what? I almost said, after we said 5 and 8, I was going to say, watch, it's going to be 3.
Oh, Teresa, you've got like this weird second sense of these things.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did?
Terrible.
How did you do listening at home? If you think you've got that perfect question and you'd like to hear it asked, feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Yep, from the D23 Expo and all that. So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own.
So this is why they call it Devil's River.
Trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. I'll take a pound of brisket, 6 ribs, 3 links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie. Trip to Texas. Go to traveltexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.